You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Good morning. Maybe you find yourself in your car and you're about to go somewhere and you realize you've never been there before. You've got a couple of options. One, you could just kind of wing it and navigate by the stars or do something like that. Or you could get an atlas, which is like paper or something like that. I've seen one once. No, actually, I've got one. And I remember in college, my glove box was full of maps because that's how you got around. But now, in this modern era, you have GPS, and you just take your phone or your GPS device, of course, and you go in and bring the nav program up and then look for where you're going. Come on. And put in the destination. And then the lady comes on and gives you a blue line, and you just follow the blue line and it gets you where you need to go. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been places at times where I didn't know where I was going. And the blue line got me from where I am to where I'm going, so I just followed it. So let's just follow the blue line. That's how you do it. You follow the blue line and it takes you to your destination, and you've just got to trust that it knows where you're going. And here's the thing, you might not know the road, you might not know what's ahead, but the blue line always does. And since I'm here, why don't I open the door?
So there was one time that I was following the blue line, and it was actually kind of interesting because we were driving down the road, and the GPS, we actually were coming from Virginia. We were visiting Kendra's brother and his family, and we had already gone kind of this route to get there, and we were coming home. And the blue line, it said, you know how they always tell you the next thing, and it's like, turn left at Stupid Name Road. And we're like, that's a stupid name. Or actually, it was like Dirt Road or John's Junk Road. Or we're like, oh, that's really funny. Like, it's going to be a stupid name road to turn on. And we're going, and the road that we went, we drove past the state park on the way down. And as we were going up, there was this sign that said, State Park, turn left now. And I saw that sign. I thought, I think we came that way. And so now, laughing at John's Junk Dirt Road, whatever it was called, wasn't quite as funny. And I'm getting a little nervous. So we followed the blue line, stayed with the arrow, listened to Google Lady, and we get up and turn left onto this junk dirt road, whatever. And it was actually like, it was somebody's like cabin road. Now, it had been paved. But it did not have, you could not pass traffic in two directions along this road. And we went out and we're going and it's like, I don't know about this. Because, you know, there were other times we've followed some of the maps and it's just, you know, it, I don't know. We're out in the middle of cabins, hunting area, state park, game land, trail, things that I know nothing about. Okay? So if something went wrong, I don't think we had a cell signal at that point, and if I don't have the cell signal, I'm done. So I don't know what to do beyond that. I guess we just sit there and lay down and make a good death pose so that we can rot that way. But uh, But anyway, so we're going along, and it says, you know, in 2,000 feet, turn right. And we're okay, that's comforting. At least we're not going to end in somebody's driveway on this cabin road. And then all of a sudden, like, we start climbing. I mean, like, the road is going up like this. And it's, I mean, we're in our minivan, high-end, engine that has things in it, valves and stuff. It's a high-end valved engine that gets gas. It uses gasoline, and that makes it go, and there's a pedal. So I'm using the gasoline. That's the part that I understand. I'm using the gas pedal to go up this hill, and it's like, and then it's going, like, in 1,000 feet, turn right onto your road. There's no road. And in 500 feet, turn right. And on the right is a cliff, like, to up. And I'm getting really nervous here. Again, like, if this is a city, and it was like, turn right there. Like, oh, there's no road. That's okay. It's an alley. It's one way, the wrong way. I'm cool with that. Like, city is, that's where I grew up. But this, you know, mountain road. And then it said, in 250 feet, turn right. Cliff. You know, and then she said, turn right now. And sure enough, the blue line was correct because this road was like this and the other road was here. And we kind of had to go up and over. And there we were. We were back on the main road. And it was literally like, you know, that's the kind of spot where if you had turned left, you would be dead and no one would find you. But we were coming the other way and we followed the blue line. And sure enough, we got home, because here we are, and that was like, you know, 2 months ago. But following that blue line is such a challenge, because you put in your destination, you stay where you want to go, and then you have faith. Then you trust that Google Lady, or Siri, whoever has one of those things, or Cortana. Cortana, like anybody has a Windows phone. Anyway, you follow the lady, and you trust that you're going to get there. And actually, just this past summer when we drove to Florida on our vacation, for those of us that did not run into a major hurricane on that particular moment in time, when we drove to Florida on our vacation, the Google lady popped up and said, there's an accident 20 miles down the road. And it said, here's an alternate route. Would you like to take it? And I'm very, you know, I like technology, but I'm still skeptical. Like, I know that 95 starts here and goes there, and, like, that's life. Like, I can do that. But she says she wants me to get off. And I'm like, I'm a rebel. I'm living on the edge, baby. Boop. And I pushed the button that said go. You know, and I followed this. And sure enough, plenty of traffic moving. We're not slowing down at all, going 70 miles an hour. And Google Lady has me getting off of this exit. And we go over to one of those side roads that you kind of see when you're going through the woods there, if you've ever been on, like, 95, or, you know, some other roads have those too. And it's only, like, I think it's 45, maybe even 50 miles an hour. Certainly not the 70 miles an hour. And I'm like, there's no one else here, you know, a car or two, but it's not packed. And I'm just going, I don't know. All right, you know, I'm going, like, it's not highway, so I'm not as happy anyway, because I like the highway. And Kendra's like, it's so beautiful. Look at the way the trees come over. But we're going, and following Google Lady, I'm like, why did I do this? You know, I'm way. And then sure enough, to the left, where we see 95, we go another 2 miles, 3 miles, something like that. And it is stopped on the highway. And yeah, I knew that. Here we go, 50 miles an hour down. And we went up and probably went about 10 miles along this little side road that wasn't 70 miles an hour. And we get back on. And here's the crazy thing. It was so stopped that they were actually sending tow trucks the wrong way down the highway. So it wasn't even like they were going slowly. They weren't going. And so we followed the blue line. And the blue line saves us some traffic time too. And the point is that when we follow the blue line, we know maybe where we're going, but we don't know the route. And we have to trust that we're going to get there. And it's the same thing when God has called you to do something. Because sometimes God says do this, and you're like, I don't know. But God says, no, do this. And you have a decision to make. Do you follow God's blue line and trust that even though you've never been on those roads before, even though it doesn't make sense, it's going to get you to where He wants you to be? And the reason that we can trust that is because today's point. And that is that God is always faithful to his calling. We've been talking about God's faithfulness all month, and we're going to finish next week with looking at God's faithfulness when we're not, which is kind of a cool thing too. But God is always faithful to his calling. He will always come through. He will always do what he says he's going to do. And we talked about that the very first week, and I'll come back to that. But that God is faithful. God doesn't choose to be faithful. It's not a decision. It's not an action. It is who he is. And so the lights are going to come on. If you have a paper Bible, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you have the YouVersion app, get it. If you don't, but YouVersion, tap on New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5. Thessalonians has a lot of letters in it. It's also on the screen here. But in the YouVersion app, that's where we're going to be looking for a little bit. Now, this is a letter that Paul, the Apostle Paul, he planted a bunch of churches in the Mediterranean area. And this is a church that he planted in a town called Thessalonica. And that's kind of a long name, but so is Kishikoquilis. So get over it, okay? But so he planted a church in an area called Thessalonica. And then after he planted this church, he wrote this letter. He actually wrote two letters, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, shouldn't make fun of things. And so this is the first letter that he wrote to this church, and there were some things he talked about, and he's kind of wrapping up the letter. It's kind of his final greetings. You know, it's what you do. Remember when you used to write letters on paper, on stationery, to grandma. My grandmother bought me stationery because she wanted me to write to her. And it had my name on it, and it had these little cool little things. It's probably still in my parents' house. In the package, like I just never did it. And of course now we don't write letters as much, maybe a quick text. But anyway, so he was wrapping up his letter, and if you were writing a letter, you would wrap it up and kind of add some closing thoughts. And he shares this kind of parting thought with the Thessalonians, and he says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." And so he's kind of wrapping it up, and he basically says to the Thessalonians, look, God wants to sanctify you, and the word there just means to make holy, to set apart. God wants you to be different from the rest of the people around you. God wants you to stand out. And he said, may God sanctify you. May God set you apart through and through. Not just like, yeah, on Sunday mornings, I'll look Jesus-y. But every day, everywhere you go, as Brian shared in his video, you know, in work, in play, in everything. May God make you holy. May God make you his, unique and set apart through his Holy Spirit. And he said, may your whole spirit, whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God set you apart. May he make you blameless. May he make you unique, special, pure. And of course, we can't be completely pure. And we'll talk about that next week about why God is faithful even when we're not. But he says, may every part of you be made holy. May God change you. And that's sort of a prayer that he offers. And he says that the one who calls you, the one who has called you to this, he is faithful and he will do it. And so I want to look at this idea of what it means to follow God's call. And just in the illustration that I'm using here, think about this calling as the destination. God says, I want you to do this. And it might be God says, I want you to start a church. And honestly, people, I thought and I knew that God could do this. But I thought, well, that's probably not what it's going to be like. Probably just like six of us. And then we'll kind of hang out and like be there. Okay, let's disband this thing and go on to real life. But God was faithful. And so the kind of the setting the destination is this idea of saying, okay, God, what have you called me to do? What is the destination here? We'll talk about the path to get there, but the destination, what is God calling you to do? And I want to explain some things because this idea of God's calling, it's kind of become like mysterious and mystical and crazy and like, ooh, and you're a pastor, so you have been called of the Lord. Well, yeah, but as you'll see here in a second, or as you see right now, God has called you. God has called you as well. And so if you look at this passage in verse 24, Paul says, the one who calls you is faithful. He doesn't say if God calls you. He doesn't say maybe God will call you. It's a declaration. It is a statement of fact that the one who calls you, the God who calls you, and we'll get to the rest of that, but it calls you. The fact that it is something that will happen. It is something that is real. And the word calls, the Greek word is kaleo, and it's kind of a cool word. It's this idea of an invitation. It's not a forcing. God is not going to force you to obey Him. God will not make you do what He says. God is calling you and saying, look, I've got a better way. I've got the perfect way. I created you. I love you. And so He says, the one who calls you, the one who kaleos you, the God who is inviting you to follow Him, inviting you to do some things, He is faithful. So understand that God has called you. And so I want to look at this idea, like, what does a calling look like? You know, and again, I can explain some of how God, you know, my call into ministry, what I felt like God was saying, you know, you need to do this. And I think that phrase call has become this, oh, I'm called, so therefore I'm either going to be a pastor or a missionary. And it's way more normal and common than that. So what are some things that God might call you to do? Because He has called you. He has called you to some things. The first thing is maybe God has called you to deal with sin. And understand that what I'm saying here is that sin, it's not like God's saying, yeah, you can decide if you need to obey sin. Oh, you can sin. It's okay for you to sin. But I'm calling you to not sin. There's nothing like that. But you, if you've followed Jesus for, you know, more than 10 minutes, you probably realize that in your life, you've got issues. You've got problems. You've got some things that are not what God wants. And we've talked about this the last few weeks. Sin means to miss the mark. God's bullseye is just like, this is perfect. This is exactly right. This is the best way things can possibly be. And sometimes we miss the mark. And so God, it's not that your sin is a choice, like this is good or bad, like, oh, I'm okay with that sin. That sin's not so good. No, but more along the lines of sin is bad. Sin is always bad. Specific things. Let's talk about greed. Let's talk about, you know, our speech and how we talk about others. Let's talk about, I don't know, beating people up because they look funny. I don't know. I mean, we can just start listing sins. I mean, murder and adultery and, I mean, whatever. But we know that sins are bad. They don't change. But sometimes you, and again, if you've been following Jesus more than 10 minutes, you might have had those moments where you're like, I need to change that. And God brings something up to your heart. Maybe it's when you're studying His Word. Maybe it's when you're hanging out in your prime group and talking to people and someone says something and you're like, wow, that's something I need to do. And maybe you say that out loud, maybe you don't. But maybe God has called you to deal with a specific sin in your life. And again, not that we're excusing the rest of them, but, you know, we're human and God's working on us slowly and taking away pieces and chunks. And so maybe there's an issue. You're like, wow, this is something that's wrong. I need to fix this. And so that's one, you know, one way you could describe God's call. God has said to me, you know what, I really need to, you know, stop shooting people every time I go to the store because I'm in line at Walmart and the stinking machine for the self-checkout never works. And so I keep shooting somebody because I get angry. Okay, that's sin. And maybe God is calling you, stop. You know, and if He isn't, He is. If you don't think, stop shooting people. But you know what I'm saying? Like kind of that moment where God gives you this nudge. And maybe the nudge is, and often the nudge is His Holy Spirit speaking directly to you. Maybe you're singing a song and the lyrics and the worship song go, wow, that got me. Maybe it's something in the midst of teaching here and this during the point that God kind of challenged you. Maybe it's with your kids working through an ATU pack and it's for them, but all of a sudden God's challenging you. Maybe it's someone in your life. Maybe your spouse or your kids call you out on something and you're like, yeah, I need to change that. And so that's one way that maybe God calls you. God has called you. And the problem is, especially if your sin is nicely hidden and you look pretty and perfect on the outside. That's where the calling really becomes a challenge. Some people will know that I'm not perfect. We already know you're not perfect. But we have this personal idea of what the expectations are. And, you know, if I said something about that, if I told people, they would look at me differently. This might be a challenge. And so then we kind of dismiss it and wash it away and say, no, if I do that, it's going to be hard and it's not going to work out. And I want you to know that if God is calling you to do it, He is faithful and He will work it out. He will work out those details if He is calling you to do that. So, but again, make sure we understand here that sin is bad and wrong. But there's those times where God just kind of challenges us on an issue in our lives. So that's one way maybe God has called you. Maybe it's something about service. Maybe God is calling you and saying, you know what? It's time for you to step up. You've been sitting in church and soaking it in. And God has said that church is not just worship. It's part of it. But church is giving and serving and being, you know, offering of what you have to the body of Christ. And maybe it's teaching, but maybe it's running the computer. Maybe it's cleaning up coffee spills. You know, whatever it is, maybe God is calling you. You need to step up and serve. And all the time, a lot of times, and maybe it's not specifically in church. Maybe it's to your neighbor or to help someone or whatever. I mean, there's tons of options there, obviously. But for us, we're kind of like, well, but if I do that, then I might miss the football game in the afternoon because I'll have to stay a little longer. If I do that, it might put me out and make me, you know, have to give up something for the sake of my next door neighbor who really needs some help. And see, that's one of those moments where God might be saying, no, you need to do that. And then we make these excuses and say, no, it's not going to work out. And I just want you to know that if God is calling you to serve in some way, to serve some person, to do something for somebody, and it might be way above and beyond anything you've ever expected, maybe God's saying, you know what? I need you to give that person $500. Well, I have $500, but if I did that, I can't go on my Taco Bell binge eating every night, which is awesome. But maybe God's saying, give up the Taco Bell binging for the sake of someone else. And that's where these moments where we say, maybe God is calling you to serve. And then kind of related to that, maybe God is calling you to sacrifice something. Maybe you need to give up something. Maybe something that you have that someone else needs. Maybe your time. You need to give up some work so that you can spend time with someone that you need to spend time with. Maybe you need to put aside some extra money that you've been saving for a rainy day, and maybe it's pouring all over your neighbor and they need the rainy day fund. So maybe it's something that God has called you to sacrifice. The point is this. I want you to understand that God hasn't just called pastors and missionaries. God has called all of us, and He has called us. Maybe God is calling you to give up your garage for this poor, miserable group of guys that say that eventually they think they'll be able to pay for the rent. But maybe that's what God's calling you to do. But the point is that God has called all of us. God has called all of us. And it's a matter of those moments when God kind of tugs on your heart, kind of maybe, again, maybe it's just a spiritual kind of personal thing. Maybe it's through someone else. Maybe it's a brother that comes alongside of you, you know, brother in Christ, says, hey, look, I see something. You need to work on this. And, you know, maybe that's how God is calling you to fix something or give or whatever. So understand that God has called all of us. And the second thing, when it comes to setting your destination, is this, and this is what he says in 1 Thessalonians, is that God is faithful. God is faithful. We talked about that week one, that God is faithful. It's not a decision, it's not a choice, it's not an action, it's who he is. And by the way, oh, I have a note here about God's calling. I'm backing up here. Sorry about that. This is, I think, important. It's not as mysterious as we've made it, but it does require to know if. How do we know if God is calling us to do something? It requires you to have a relationship with Jesus. And I don't mean a relationship like, yes, I have decided to follow Jesus. I made that choice once, and from now on, I have no relationship. You're not really following Jesus at that point, anyway. But the idea of, you know, the closer you are in your relationship with Christ, the closer you are with God. Then there are those moments where God can speak to you, and you're like, okay, I get it. All right, I want to work on that. And the other thing is that it's not multiple choice. I just want to clarify that too. Following God and listening to what He calls you to do isn't a multiple choice. God says, I want you to do A, and you're like, can I do D, none of the above? Or how about B, which is, you know, something different? Or maybe it's C, which is, you know, B and C, but not A. You know, no, it doesn't work that way. If God has called you to do something, you need to obey. You need to do it. And our issue is that we're afraid. We're not sure. You know, in this whole question of how do we know what God wants? How do we know what God's will is? And I just want you to know that if you go to mc3church.org on our website, under Listen to the Point, I think it was 2015, we did a series called Christianophobia. And if you want to, I talked all about how do we know what God's will is, because we've made that kind of this mysterious thing, like, how do I know when God is calling me? You know, there was no burning bush in front of my house. There was no Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee saying, "You!" So how do we know? And I talk about it that it was called, just in case you... You don't need to type this in the search engine because it'll take forever, but it's called Didn't Get a Godzillaphobia. So Didn't Get a Godzillaphobia, that was the second week of that series from the Christianophobia series. But I talk all about that. How do we know what that looks like? So all I have to say, that God has called you, and it's not necessarily this mystical, mysterious thing. It's, okay, listening to what God has said, listening to what God has told you to do. The problem is we don't trust that. We're like, I don't know. I know God has said go to this destination, and we don't trust that. And I want you to understand, as Paul said to the Thessalonians, that God is faithful. He is faithful. He will be faithful. He will come through. I'm getting ahead of myself. But He is faithful. His character is faithfulness. And that's what he goes on and says in verse 24. The one who calls you is faithful. And the word faithful here is such a cool word, because it actually is the root word of faithful. It means to trust, to understand, but the root word means to win over, to persuade. And it's kind of a cool word, because by Paul describing God as faithful, he's saying, give God a shot, because He will win you over. Because He will come through, because He is faithful. He can be trusted. So if God says, sacrifice this for that, and you go, but I don't know, if I do that, it might cost this. Just trust God, because God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. And again, I said that like 300 times in the first week of this series, because it's so true. And we talked about gravity, and we were dropping things off of the tire rack. And the idea that you can't stop gravity. No matter how hard you try, gravity is. And just like gravity, God's faithfulness is. It is who He is. So then the third thing that we see here is that God will come through. Because God is faithful, God will come through. So God has called you, God is faithful, and He will come through. And this is what He says in the last part of verse 24. He says, the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. He will do it. If God has called you to something, and it seems crazy, it seems difficult, it seems challenging, it seems like I'm not sure, understand that God is faithful, and He will do it. God is faithful, and He will do it. He will come through. And I know that might seem crazy. I know that might seem difficult. I know that's hard. And we talked about this in our prime group, and I'm going to come back to this in a little bit too, the other night. Like, you know, it would be, we discussed how much easier it would be if we could see the end. And if we could see the end, it wouldn't require faith. And so we trust that God will come through. He is faithful. God has called you. So, when He says, I want you to blank, He will work out the details as you step out in obedience and in faith. When God says, I want you to go to Pennsylvania from Virginia, you can say, okay, God, and sit in your car. But if you put it in the navigation directions and it says go down weird dirt road, go down weird dirt road, because God will come through. He is faithful. He will do it. He will work it out. He will work it out. He will bring it all together. And I know that's hard. I know that doesn't even make sense sometimes. And I am not trying to be up here, and we'll talk about it in a second, but I'm not trying to say like, oh yeah, it's always easy for me. God says, do that, I'm going to do it. I can tell you, it's easier now, because I've done some pretty wild things and stepped out and going like, holy cow, He's faithful. What the heck? There, I used Buddhism and then talked about heck. Anyway, holy cow. Anyway, forgetting all that, but God is faithful. He will come through. If God has called you to do it, God is always faithful to His calling. I want you to understand that. And again, sort of like last week, you know, if you're going through a hard time and you need to hear that God is faithful in your suffering, then praise God that this timing was perfect. But maybe you weren't in a difficult time. I just ask you to remember that when you go through difficult times, when you go through suffering, God is faithful. And I say the same thing to you now, that when you're going, when you feel like maybe God is calling you to do something right now and you're hedging, you're hesitating, you're waiting, you're not sure. I want you to understand that God is faithful. If He has called you to do it, He will come through. He will. But if you're not in a spot like that, you will be. And when you get to that spot, remember that God is always faithful to His calling. Always. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's the way we want it. I'm just being honest there. It doesn't mean it's going to be the way you want it, the way you think it's supposed to work out. But if God says, do this, He will come through. He will work it out. So I want to talk about following the blue line. And since I gave some props last week to Billy, who was learning the computer, we got Will back there learning the computer this week, and get some students involved. So, that would be... I love you, Will. How about some clapper in for Will? There we go. All right, that's good. But anyway, so I want to look at this idea. Okay, yes, God has called us. We've set the destination. We know we need to do it. What does it look like along the way? How does this work? How does it come down to you? Because, you know, I know when we went to Florida, when we were coming home from Virginia, I know exactly where my home is. So I don't need Google Lady to say, this is what your home looks like. When you turn to the right, it'll be white and have black shutters. No, I know what that is. That's the easy part. It's the along the way part that's the challenge. And so if God has called you to do something, how do we follow the blue line? And I want to encourage you, you need to stick with it. Stick it out. Stay to what God has called you. Stay true. Follow that blue line. Because it's going to not make sense. It's going to seem like we shouldn't. We're going to have hesitations. And I think we need to follow... Whoa, back up. Sorry. Even when we need to follow the blue line, no matter what. Even when it doesn't make sense. And I want you to understand that there are going to be times where God has called you to do something and you're like, okay, now you can go ahead. You're going to be like, whoa, that doesn't make any sense. But we need to follow God even when it doesn't make sense. There we go. Even when it doesn't make sense. Because it doesn't always have to add up. It's not always going to work out on paper. I had that plan before we talked about that the other night at Prime Group. You know, like, I don't know, God. That doesn't seem... That might be hard for me. That might be challenging. That doesn't quite make sense. And I just want to encourage you, if God has called you, and again, God has called you to do something, stick it out. Follow the blue line. Follow Him even when it doesn't make sense. And I want to clarify this before I get into the passage here. God, now listen to me. Everybody look up here. God will not call you to do something that is contrary, that is anti, that is against His word. So God is not going to call you to go murder the person at Walmart because your checkout thing isn't going to work. God is not going to call you to do that. God will not call you to sin. The Bible is full of passages that says God will not call you to sin. God does not tempt anyone to sin. So if you're like, yeah, you know, I think God is calling me to, you know, to ditch my family and run off out west. Be a cowboy. Like, I don't think so. I think God is probably, you're probably not connected to God to be able to hear something like that. It sounds to me like you just want to be a cowboy and you're using God as your excuse, and you better stop. But God is not going to call you to sin. So understand that. If it's like, if someone says, I don't know, that seems wrong, then maybe you need to check yourself and check God's word. So just to clarify that. But so when I say it doesn't make sense, it doesn't mean like, God, that sounds like sin. Then that's not what God is calling you to do. But we need to follow God even when it doesn't make sense. Look at Joshua chapter 6 here. So Joshua, he is now the leader of the Israelites. We talked about Moses a couple of weeks ago. Moses died, and Joshua is in charge. And it's time to go into this land that God had promised them, and called the Promised Land, conveniently. And actually, it was called Canaan. But you go into this land, and the first big city in the land was this massive walled city called Jericho. And Joshua had an army. And Joshua was a soldier himself. And so Joshua, and being a soldier with Joshua and his army, the assumption is, you know, we go in and take the city. We knock down the walls. Maybe we do a siege and cut off all their resources. Maybe we build something over. Maybe we get a cave troll and throw a rock at the city. I mean, that seems to be the going thing in Lord of the Rings. Spoiler alert. But maybe God has other plans. And so God says, well, here's the story. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men. And Joshua's like, yeah, yeah, what? What? We're ready. He pulls out his two swords and his ninja throwing stars. They had that in Israel. He didn't know that, but they did. He's ready. Bring it, God, we're ready. He says, get your strong men. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Okay, and then we go in and fight. And seven priests will walk ahead and carrying the ark, and each carrying a ram's horn. Okay. On the seventh day, then we fight. You are to march around the town seven times. Okay, and then we fight. And I don't know, this might not be what he was saying, but... And then, seven times, the priests blow their horns. Okay, all right. And then, when you hear the priests give one long blast of the ram's horns, we fight. No, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse. And the people can charge straight in to the town. And I don't know, I mean, at this point, Joshua has seen God do crazy, amazing things through Moses. He was there during the plagues. He was part of crossing the Red Sea. He was part of leading the people across the Jordan River. So he's seen God do some pretty crazy things. And so he doesn't even complain here. He's not like, oh, what are you talking about, God? He's going, all right, yep, that's of course, like you do. You know, yeah, we're gonna walk around the walls of the city and it'll collapse. And that's what God called him to do. And Joshua could have said no. Joshua could have said, no, God, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. And I would be willing to bet, and we've seen this in other stories in the Bible, where people said, no, God, we're going to do it our own way. They lose. But God called Joshua to do something that didn't quite make sense. He said, I want you to walk around this city. And when you walk around the city, the walls are going to fall. And you're going to take the city. It will be yours. And Joshua chose to obey. He chose to follow the blue line. He chose to do what God had called him to do. And sure enough, that's what happened. And you know what was really wild about the story? Is that when Joshua obeyed God that way, do you know who got the credit for the win? It didn't go under Joshua's category. It went under God. Because God did this. Because God showed himself faithful to Joshua, even when it didn't make sense. So at MC3, for MC3, I mean, when... 5 years ago, well, 5.5 years ago at this point, you know, God working in a bunch of different hearts, working in my heart, saying, I think this is what you need to do, Sean. I think you need to go and plant a church. I think you need to step out and do this. And there were lots of questions. There were things that didn't make sense. There were, God, I have 4 children and a wife. My children eat. How is this going to work out? And over, God said, just trust me. I got this. Just trust me. I got this. I'm like, God, I have been in this position at the church, at my previous church, for 10 years. I had a nice, big office. It was comfy. I had nice furniture and bookshelves. I went in. Didn't have to be responsible for people. I was the youth pastor. You know, nobody cares about them. It was cush. It was nice. I was making good money. And I had to say, okay, God, is this what you're calling me to do? And then, because God doesn't call us to sin, I want to tell you, and I don't say this in arrogance, but I spent a long time soul searching. God, is this just me? Is this me just wanting to be the boss? To have my own thing? And I studied a book called All About Ambition and just really reading through every passage in the Bible about someone that started something and were they doing it because God was calling them or because they were because of their own pride and their own arrogance. And so I had to look and say, God, if this is what you're calling me to do, it doesn't make sense. So I need to make sure that it's not me, that this is your call. And so I found out later that my wife, Kendra, had a, it was a lot harder for her. I'm just like, God said to do it. Here we go. And she's like, oh, crap. What are we going to do? And sure enough, I mean, God had worked out details because God is faithful. And we literally had just, like, months before this had happened, had paid off all of our debt, for the most part, except for our house or something. We had a whole bunch of credit card debt, and just God had worked something out years ago for us to get through that, and we just finished that, and God said, I want you to go and do this thing. And so we stepped out and did it, and we didn't get paid for 6 months. Yeah, we didn't have a salary for 6 months, and God provided everything. And that doesn't make sense. And I will tell you, people, that people that I love and respect and that are related to me and are friends of mine said to me, you can't do that because of your family. You can't follow God because you can't afford that. And that was hard. But I had to say, okay, am I going to follow God? Am I going to stick with the blue line? Or am I going to go, no, I think I know better. And if I knew better, you would be somewhere else right now. So we need to follow God even when it doesn't make sense. The second thing we need to do when it comes to following God is we need to follow that blue line even if it will be hard, even when it will be hard. God never said that everything's going to be easy for us all the time. He didn't. In fact, he told his disciples, in this world, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Thanks for that encouragement. He says, but take heart. Take heart, I have overcome the world. So we need to follow Jesus, even if it's going to be hard. And it might hurt a bit to do what God has called you to do. It might. It might hurt a lot to do what God has called you to do. But the issue is, and Kirk said this, I think, during his prayer, you know, that it's not about us. God is the star of the story, so get out of the way. And if it's going to hurt you for God to get glory, and I hate to say this, but that's what God has called us to do. He is the star. He is the one who is faithful. We are not the center of attention. And so God might call you to do something that's going to hurt. It might hurt physically. It might hurt financially. It might hurt in various different ways. But if it's what God has called you and it's true to His word, then you might need to do it. There's a story in Daniel about three guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king at the time had this made this rule that whenever this idol, this giant idol, was put up in front of everybody, that you need to go, if you hear any kind of musical instrument, when you see this idol, everybody in the land is to bow down. If they do not bow down to this idol, then they are going to be thrown into the furnace, into the fiery furnace where they will be killed. They'll be burned to death. And of course, these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the land of Babylon, they were living there, but they were followers of God. They were Israelites that worshipped God and the true Hebrew God, Yahweh, you know, God. And they're like, no, you know, we can't do this. God has called us to follow Him and not to bow down to some idol that you made. And so they play the instruments, and sure enough, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not bow down. And so the king has them brought in. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue that I have set up? Look, guys, okay, like you probably misunderstood. I'm going to give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I've made. So when you hear the sound of the musical instruments, but if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And this line. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? I'm bigger than your God. You obey me. You follow me. You worship my idol. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. You know what? You're not our boss, man. Sorry. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve, now listen to this, the God whom we serve is able to save us. They said, God is strong, He is powerful, He is amazing, He is faithful, and He is able to rescue us from even fire. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Still respectful there, just the fact that, you know, we won't burn and you will. But anyway, that's... But then they said, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. See, they understood, you know what, God can do it. God can do anything. But we're not in this for what we can get out of it. We're in this because God has called us to worship Him and worship Him alone. And we're not going to worship your idol. We're not going to worship your gold statue. And our God can save us. But even if He doesn't, we're still not going to do it. Because it might be hard for us to follow God's call. It might be difficult. It might be challenging for us to do what God has said to do. But it doesn't matter. Because it's not about us. It's about Him. And so here you have these three guys. And again, we know the end of the story. If you grew up in church, you've heard this story probably a billion times. That they were eventually thrown into the furnace. And they were rescued. And there was actually a fourth person in there. Some say that was probably Jesus in there with them, rescuing them from the furnace. They didn't die. They came out and they're not even smelled like smoke. But that wasn't the issue. We know the end. They didn't. And they were just saying, look, we probably will die. God can rescue us, but if we die, you know, it doesn't matter because we're not here to obey you. We're going to obey God. And we're going to listen to His calling. He has called us to obey Him, worship Him alone. And so if it's going to cost us our life, if it's going to hurt, if it's going to be hard, then so be it. Bring it on. Because it's not about us. It's about Him. So, following that blue line, and I just want to clarify this. We talked about this in our creative team meeting a couple months ago as we were planning this series. You know, how many times have you heard that phrase? Well, you know, stick through the hard times because God won't give you more than you can handle. That is a lie. That is a lie. It is wrong. God will always give you more than you can handle. And do you know why He will give you more than you can handle it? Because if you can handle it, you don't need Him. But God will always give you more than you can handle so that you can say, wow, look what He did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there ain't no way. They'd be like, yeah, we drank a lot of water before we went in, so we were fully hydrated, and that's why we didn't burn up. No. That was more than they could handle, and God came through, and they were able to say, look at God, to God be the glory. So it will be hard. God will give you more than you can handle, and that way He can stand strong. You know, for MC3, for us and this journey, I mean, we did that song at the beginning. The one of the lines was, I had a dream so big and loud. I had a dream so big and loud. And that was kind of this idea, like, God has called, like, wow, this is pretty intense. And then later, one of the lines talks about, we dance with monsters through the night. The song wasn't just fun. It was actually sort of a metaphor for our story. Like, there were times where we're like, wow, this is hard. We kept going, like, is this the right thing? Is this not the right thing? Should we be doing this? I lost very close friends of mine. And I was just talking to someone yesterday. I had people say things about me that hurt deeply. Because the assumption of my character, the stories about who I was. And I will tell you, there are people that were part of that plant team that lost close friends, never talked to them again. Financially, yeah, there were things we had to do a little bit differently. There were a lot of things. I mean, and we just went without a salary. There were so many people part of that early plant team that gave sacrificially and did things that they had to give up other things just to be a part of it. And it was hard. And so we had to say, God, is this what you've called us to do? And just because it got hard doesn't mean that's not what God has called us to do. And it got hard, and so we said, okay, God, we're trusting you. And so, yeah, we danced with those monsters through the night. We're going, no, is this the right thing? Is this not the right thing? Yes, this is the right thing because God has called us and God is faithful. And even if it's hard, it doesn't mean we shouldn't follow. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, it's not God. It's His story. He is faithful. And then the third reason, third way we need to follow the blue line is we need to follow even when you can't see the end. And that's most of the time. You know, at least with GPS, it says it'll take you 3 hours and 22 minutes to get to your destination. You know where the end is. Sometimes God says, do that. What's up there? I didn't tell you what's up there. I told you to do that. And so sometimes we don't see the end. That's what we were talking about in Prime Group the other night. You know, it's It's faith. We have to trust that God is leading us and that He's going to get us there. And if we don't know what's going to happen at the end, I had no idea. We had no idea. We hoped. We believed. I mean, we were kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Dude, our God could make an amazing, amazing thing. He could make beautiful things out of dust. But even if He doesn't, we still need to follow Him. And we don't know what the end is going to hold. We don't, when we're not at the end now. And dude, we have said this many times in elders' meetings. Kendra and I have talked about this. If we died right now, if I died right now, I'm cool with that. Like, look what God has done in the last 5 years. And just some of the stories of, like, you know, I've been following Jesus for 5 years, so 35. So, yeah, I'm 40, and I'm 39. I just gave my age. I'm old. I started following Jesus around 5, 6. And honestly, haven't seen God do things through me and in me in that entire, so quick math here, 5, 5, 30. So in that 30-ish, 25, 30 years, like I have in the last 5 years of just being faithful to what God has called us. And so we don't know what the end is going to hold, but we just say, okay, God, we're here to obey. We're here to follow. You've called. You said it. We're going to do it. And this is the story we see here in Esther. And you might not know the story of the book of Esther. Esther was a queen picked as a queen to the king because of her great beauty. There was nothing about her. The king was a kind of a selfish kind of jerk guy. And there was someone that was one of the king's officials who wanted to kill. His name was Haman, who wanted to kill all the Jewish people. And there's a whole backstory there. I don't have time to get into that. But he basically wanted to pull a Hitler and kill all of the Jewish people in the land. And so Esther, who was the queen, just because she was really beautiful, happened to be Jewish. Happened to be a Hebrew person. And so Esther was they were basically said, hey, Esther, help us out. Can you go to the king and kind of tell them that this dude's like going to kill everybody, including you? And so she sent this message back to her relative Mordecai. And she says, Esther told her, I'll go back and relay this message to Mordecai. All the king's officials and even the people in the provinces know that anyone who appears before the king in his inner court without being invited is doomed to die unless the king holds out his gold scepter. So the rule was basically, you are not allowed to go into the presence of the king without the king saying, please come into my presence. And if you go in there and he's feeling benevolent, he's feeling generous and not deteratoring, and doesn't want to make you dead, he holds out his scepter as a sign saying, you are granted entrance into my presence and I won't make you dead. And she says, and the king, you want me to go into the king, but he hasn't called for me. It's been 30 days since I've seen my husband, the king. Got some marital issues there. But so she sent this message to Mordecai. And Mordecai then comes back to her and he sent this reply to Esther. Says, don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you'll escape when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made a queen for just such a time as this? So Mordecai says, Esther, you were probably placed here on purpose. And so she thinks about it and then sends this letter back to him and says, Mordecai, so sent this reply to Mordecai, go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. Basically, we need to have like a massive, nationwide prayer meeting because I'm about to do this. He says, and then, though it is against the law, and again, it wasn't like she was sinning. It was something where she could get pardoned when she walked in. She says, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. She didn't know what was next. She had no idea what the next step would be. But she knew that God had called her and placed her there to say, you know what? You are in this spot, in this position, and I am calling you to save your people. And so she said, okay, I'm going to do it. I don't know what the end is going to look like. And if I die, I die. And she went in there, and of course the king did offer his royal scepter to her, and then she told the story, and then the Haman guy was executed, and it all worked out pretty good for the Jewish people. But we have to go. We have to step out, and we can't see the end, and that's faith. We trust that God is faithful. We trust that God is coming through. And I was one of the things that I've heard people say to me in my years of ministry, I never see God work in my life. I would follow God if I could see Him do something for me. And you see Him all the time. And my answer to that is because I step out. Like, if you never give God a chance to come through, then you're not going to see him come through. And so sometimes we need to step and take those steps of faith, even though we can't see the end. And of course, that was the for us at MC3. We don't know what the end's going to look like. We don't know how this is going to work out. I think it's working out pretty well now. We stay true to what God has called us as a church. Stay humble, obedient to him. I mean, we haven't arrived. There's people that don't know Jesus right out there. And that's why we're here. They need him. And so I don't know what the end's going to look like, but I know that God has called us to do this. And that song, the very beginning, you know, never going to look back, never going to give it up. No way. No way would I ever look back and give up what God has done here. What God has done here. Because God is always faithful to his calling. Always. If God has called you to do something, it might not make sense, it might be hard, and you might not know how it's going to turn out, but that doesn't matter. Because God has called you, so do it. Do it. Father, thank you so much for being a faithful, faithful, faithful God. And that no matter what we do, you're always faithful. And I just pray for those of us and all of us who have been called to one thing or another, and sometimes we're hesitating because it might seem like it's going to be hard, or we don't know how it's going to turn out, or all these different excuses. God, I just pray that we would not look at our circumstances, but look to you, who are the faithful, faithful, true God. And I pray that you would help us to stay faithful to you and obey you, follow the line that you have called us to. And even when it doesn't look like it's going to work out, we just stay true to what you have called us. Thank you so much for what you have done in these last 5 years at MC3. And I pray that you would continue to do things. I mean, you're going to do things no matter what. But I just pray that we would be humble and obedient enough to be a part of the journey, to be along for the ride as you do it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.